Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome to the show. My name is Alex.
And I'm Lizzie.
Today we're with the best medical person we can find and from, Miss Christy, a.k.a. Chloe, and I don't want to mess up your last name, so.
I dare you to try.
Van something.
You got it. Lizzie's played it. You're good.
Yeah, you know what? That's why she's the brains of this operation.
Teaching. With exactly. All the kids' names, so
folks, if you're in the room, please let us know where you're from, and we're gonna have a little chat with our favorite. Are you a resident in From?
I'd say at this point, I feel like Christy's definitely giving resident vibes.
Okay.
Of the non-medical profession, I know she'd rather be a medical resident, but she's a resident of From.
But she's a resident of
for
Trump.
6 months. Yeah, maybe like 6.5 at this point, because I think 3 weeks have passed since the show began, I think.
Well, folks, like I said, we're going to be talking episode 2, season 3, Mousetrap. And this was a real, like, holy cow. And, you know, I love the fact that you guys really interact with everybody in the cast. Like, the cast really interact. There's only a few people that you don't really interact in.
Yeah.
And when you read the script, because we usually do this with Lizzie and I, what was your first thoughts of the script when you got it?
I was like, oh, Christy's gonna get to sit down. That's
Lay down.
I was like, oh, the girly is not going to be able to do the things she normally does. So I was very curious where they were going to go with that, having Christy kind of being crutchy Christy for the rest of the season, which means she's just less capable of doing the things that she's very good at. So, yeah, and what that would do to her.
I don't want to say you're crutchy Christy for one reason. You know, Ethan had something go through his leg and he was fine by the middle of the season. But, you know, not for nothing. I mean, like, who knows what's going to happen. But for those of you that are just joining us, welcome. Sunday is From Day. And if you guys want to, you can hit that little subscribe button right on the lower right-hand corner. And the goal is to get to 650 subscribers by the end of this podcast. So Lizzie, what was your first thoughts of the episode?
You know, so much happened in the episode, that once we got to that final scene with the tree, it was almost like I forgot everything else, but you know, like I was just like, this can't be happening. I didn't expect that. I think I'm a fairly easy person to surprise with, you know, things that seem to be pretty obvious to everybody else. I'm just oblivious. But I loved it, of course. And I had a lot of fun with the notes today.
Oh, I bet you did.
Yeah. And I figured out something.
So Chloe, along with the Book of Secrets, as I like to call it, she has the wall, the portable map of when everybody actually, yeah. So
I don't know.
I know. We're going to scare you off.
I can't.
You're never coming back.
Let me see.
Can I zoom in?
Actually, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do this. We're going to make
I sent you a picture, Alex.
I know you did, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I know. That's how I feel.
Oh, you can put it back up. You can put it back up now. Put it back up.
I feel like I need to put it back up. Yeah. Okay. Who do we have here? Okay. Bus people.
The bus people.
Yeah. Matthew's family, Jade, Sarah, Nathan. Yeah. Christy, 6 months. Fatima, 1 year. Who's the Lewis?
The Lewis.
Oh, the Lewis.
Who's the lose? Really? Who's the lose?
This
is about where I've got them.
Yeah,
and tonight, this episode was a reveal as to when Boyd actually got there.
Which was 1.5 years ago?
Yeah.
According to your map.
Patrick says it to him. Or actually, he's basically saying it to himself.
And just Victor's the mayor.
Well,
forever. Yeah,
I can do whatever he wants. Yeah. He, he's been there long enough. He can do whatever the hell he wants at this point.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
I mean, geez.
Yeah. So tortured soul. All right. So,
what do you want to start with, Lizzie?
Well, I'd like to start with the trek for food. I'm sorry, I dropped my tarot cards. I figured we'd do a reading at some point and find out, what Fatima is having.
Oh God, no, I don't need to do that.
Yeah. So this group all drew the short straws, although I don't think that Christy and Kenny drew straws at all.
No.
I totally believe that Jade must have, because, he doesn't really want to go anywhere and he's too busy with his book, So they go out to that location where the three cabins were, with all the scarecrows, and that's what I'm calling them. I don't know what else to call them, but they're a type of scarecrow that we've surmised keep the monsters away or help scare them or something. I mean, who knows if they worked, because no one's living there. There's no descendants, so I'm thinking no.
Were they as scary when you guys first went in there? Were they as scary as they look?
They were. Yeah, they were creepy. Actually, a good friend of mine was the one who designed them. Hella Lockhart. Yeah, she's a good pal, and she was kind of spearheading the creation of these.
I mean, those
guys
are freaky. Yeah. And if you go onto some of the front pages, people are putting these out for Halloween.
Really? I'm putting them out for Halloween.
So,
I'm going to make some this week maybe next week because I have to travel. Yeah, my dog and I are going to be ghosts for Halloween this year when we hand out candy, but I just want something.
You should have one on your shoulder, when you're walking.
Oh, my God.
A little.
If I could figure it out, I would dress up as one. Although I don't want to scare all the little kids being dressed up like that, but So, they assign jobs and they're sorting food and getting it ready. They know that they're not going back that night. I'm not exactly sure why they didn't decide to stay in the cabins, since they would be there instead of going back to the hut where the talismans are. So can you shed any light on that?
What do you mean? I don't know if I'm clear on your question.
Okay, there's a comment at some point when they first get there that, they assign jobs, and then I think Kenny says, we'll go back to the hut with the talismans.
Because the sun's going down, I think, so they're wrapped up for the day.
But why aren't they staying in the cabin since they're right there? See, this is what we do.
At the end of the episode, they're not heading back into town.
Right, exactly.
They're heading back to the cabins. at the end. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, that all being said, you've got, is this your first interaction with Dale on the show?
Yes. Yeah, but I know of him.
No, I mean, I know because you always have to patch up his work when he deals with Ellis. They're not allowed to be in the same room. That's for damn sure. Yeah.
Definitely know of him. Chrissy has strong opinions about him.
Oh, I bet you. I bet she does. What is your relationship with Kenny? Like, that's like the biggest question we got. Is like, what is your real relationship with Kenny?
Because
there's like. Like a Three's Company thing where you guys should all just get a room together and then there's like other people.
No, that's not what this is.
I know that. No, but are you really good friends or is it more?
I think we have this obsession of having to like categorize everything as humans. And I think like, there's always this room for like the nebulousness of it, of this like deep love that they clearly have for one another, What was that?
If they're just friends, that's great. It's just
I don't know though either. I think it's deeper than that, and it's not named, and I don't think it has.
Yeah,
that's fine.
No, it doesn't.
They're in a nightmare, and I think when you're in a nightmare like that, you need a person to hold on to. You know what I mean? And they've been like. Chrissy's been there a lot longer than Marielle has. And I mean, of course, when Marielle came into town, that just like shifted it all 180 degrees, but it doesn't discredit what Kenny and Christy have built. They're both responsible for a lot in the town. And
absolutely,
a lot of people look to them for the answers, for a solution. So there's something kindred in their relationship, and it's not named. And I like that about it. Yeah. And I like that John hasn't pushed it in any specific direction, and I like that fans are like riled up about it because it's like, welcome to being a human being where like things don't make sense and you can't put them into boxes.
Well, we just talked to Ricky this week, and you know, he's very wordy, as you well know. Ha ha ha. No, I mean, he's very, you know, concise and whatever else, and you know, hopefully, sad Kenny will maybe disappear for a little bit. And we can actually get happy Kenny for a little bit. That's why we just want happy Kenny. That's all.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone is happy there. Episode is very like stressful and sad. Like, no, I don't think anybody was happy except for maybe Tilly.
Well, yeah, Tilly.
she's God. I love Deb Grover. Yeah. She's finding her little way in the town and finding her purpose. But I think a big part of this whole premise and town is like finding your purpose in a way. Because if you have purpose, you can get through your day. If you're purposeless, it's harder to wake up the next day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How is it being off the main set? Like, I'm assuming this area was like off the main set, and it's like you finally get to move somewhere as opposed to like that normal set that you're normally on.
Yeah, I mean, this was just like 500 meters away from our normal set, so it wasn't but we split a lot of this up. So I don't know if you've ever been to the east coast of Canada, but the winters there are hellish, and we obviously shot in the winter, and this episode was episode 3, so we were shooting around February. We shot the first half of the block, and it was fine, and then a huge snowstorm blew through and made it impossible for us to shoot the rest of the episode, so we had to delay shooting all like the actual bear trap stuff until April. So they had to actually ship a bunch of like truckloads of like real fake snow into that area we were shooting, and it was like 2 months later. So yeah, it was like kind of chaotic to try to make that set happen, but the magic of television makes it all work.
It does, doesn't it?
I love the snow days when they bring that in. So Dale, for me in this episode, I love that he was there, but he says a couple of things. And one of the things that he says is that things looked rigged as far as food and stuff like that, that things are rigged. And what it reminded me of is when Donna is telling Boyd that the game is rigged. Mm-hmm. So do you think it's rigged against everybody, or does Chloe, oh my God, what is your character's
name? Christy.
Christy with a K.
With a K. And I know she's one of my favorites, but does Christy think that the game is rigged, that it is a game?
Honestly, I don't think she's thinking any of those thoughts. She's just trying to keep tabs on everyone, make sure no one gets hurt.
Yeah.
And is also just there to caretake Kenny a bit because he's just gone through his own nightmare the night before. So,
yeah
she's not really playing the logic game of how this place is operating at this point in time. She hasn't had a chance to, like, sit down and journal about it yet.
Right.
She hasn't had time.
There's always something going on. I mean, the moment that Christy and Marielle realize that they're actually looking at one another was amazing. The two of you, the chemistry was just so palpable in that moment. Like, I felt like I was seeing someone that I never thought I'd see again. Mm. You know, it was really wonderful. It's been an interesting ride. Mm-hmm. Seeing that other side of you, because I can't imagine going to meet someone for lunch and being and thinking for however long, 6 months, that I got blown off by my fiance. Like, mm-hmm. that is, and then there's no sign of you, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's pretty, you know, intense. And, you know, Christy goes up and she tries to talk to Kenny about what has just happened, and he just completely blows her off. Like, he has shut down and he's focusing on the task at hand, trying to get everyone organized and working and, you know, everyone doing their thing. And he shuts her down. And I was glad that, you know, Christy had the wherewithal when her leg is caught in a bear trap, which I can't imagine felt, you know, wonderful. And her intent was to make sure that Kenny knew that he was not going to be alone, mm-hmm. you know, and that was speaking to that relationship that they had spent 6 months building, mm-hmm. you know, reminding him that she cared about him.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my thought about that. I don't know what else to say.
And that's a relationship, you know? It's not like they're not sitting there professing. Like, it's so, there's so much more nuance to, like, than just being like Christy choosing Marielle over Kat. Like, that's not what this is. It's so much more complex.
Right. Oh, no. I mean, they've lived a terror together. They've had that bond, and they're just trying to survive. And
it's literally that.
I mean, you know, I just think right now Kenny is just in such a bad place, which is understandable. Mm-hmm. You're just trying to be that rock or stability. And now that you're injured, it can make it even worse just because it's like his whole world is coming apart. And, and you know, I just love how you, even though you're in the midst of all this, you're still trying to be that medical / rock for the community.
Yeah. I mean, that's her North Star, is like in service of others. That's what I admire about Christy deeply, is she's never really thinking about herself too much. So yeah, I've learned a lot from her playing her.
I was just going to ask, how much has she changed, or how much more do you know about her from season one? Now we're in season three. It's all wrapped up. Do you think you really know the character as well as you can? Or are you still getting a little surprised with her?
I mean, I'm on a journey with her, and it's certainly far from being wrapped up. There's a lot more, I think, in store for her. But yeah, she's been really special to play. Like, as you know, I'm also a nurse, and getting to play a form of a medic in my art life has been, yeah, really revealing of my own shit too, that I've
Yeah.
been able to bring, that I've been able to learn by playing her. And to just watch her evolve over 3 seasons is really special, and watch myself evolve along with it, you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
I think a lot of her arc is also wrapped up in identity as well.
What type of nursing do you do in real life?
Pardon?
What type of nursing do you do in real life?
I work in like pre-op and post-op, so like
Okay.
I take care of people before and after surgery.
Okay. Now I
Yeah.
was just curious, like it was if it was ER or something
I did
else.
ER for a bit. I started my career in nursing in ER and then transitioned out because
It's a lot of fun. It's
it was too chaotic to try to like pursue my life as an artist and also be an eMERGE nurse.
yeah.
It was just insane.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I totally understand.
But
I totally understand.
I go back to the hospital like once a week. It's good.
Hey,
That's nice.
That's
I don't
awesome.
know if I could just walk away from my day job. Like,
No,
I
it's a
want to
big
be a
part of who I
full-time
am.
writer. I don't know if I could walk away from teaching. So, but Marjoram wants to know what you did to prepare to be a Michigander from Grand Rapids.
Did you do any study to be a Michigander from Grand Rapids?
Yeah.
I didn't, because I learned that she was from Grand Rapids like a few, like kind of like halfway through the season of season
Oh,
one.
yeah.
So I didn't, it wasn't something I knew right away. But is there something I should know? Tell me. Is there
I
something?
know. Marjoram, is there something she
Marjoram,
should
tell
know?
me.
I
All I know.
mean, if it was Wisconsin, you'd have to have the accent
Yeah.
from Wisconsin. So you're lucky that they didn't
Yeah,
drop
Michigan
that
is
bomb.
like
Yeah.
Ontario adjacent, so Canada
Yeah.
adjacent. But
Yeah.
let me know if there's something I should be thinking about.
And
Yeah,
John
exactly.
had added the second question
Oh
that
God,
everybody
it's always
asks
the
about
question. Yeah.
the show is what is your take on the whole mole theory? I know you know what's going on, but at the same
So
time,
I don't know what's going
you know what
on.
happens
They
in the
don't.
season. That's all I'm saying.
That's
That's all
all
I'm
I
saying.
have. That's all I
Yeah,
know.
that's all you know. But
Yeah.
what's your take on like the different theories? The mole theory, the Crominacle, the it's a government, whatever.
Experiment.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
if they had MK Ultra, why wouldn't they set up a whole town? So.
I don't know. The fact that like Jade spearheading, like trying to solve the whole lore of the town is like leading me to believe this is actually one of his video games that he's like sucked into, because he's in tech,
Oh.
right? I've always kind of thought that, but I
Yeah.
think there's something deeper there as well. It's definitely a meditation on grief and loss and coming to terms with that, whether everyone wakes up and they're all in an ayahuasca ceremony by the end of
Yeah.
the series, I don't know. But in terms
I
of
want to do
moles,
ayahuasca, but I'm afraid I'll end up in a
in
situation like
Frumtown?
that.
You're afraid you're gonna end up in
Yeah.
Frumtown if you do ayahuasca?
Or
That's fair.
something
Whatever
like
you
that,
do. Huh?
Whatever you do, ladies, don't drop any acid. I just hear it's really bad ride. After listening to Victor's dad, never drop acid because you could be in front.
Yeah. Or at
Don't end up
least
in
not
Frum.
near a tree with a hole in it. Just stay
For
away from
sure.
that. Something that I wanted to talk about regarding this whole scene is that Jade hallucinates, or we don't know if he's hallucinating or if he's actually experiencing these people real time. So he sees a man impaled to a tree with a railroad track tie, which doesn't make sense. I forget what the term is, but the railroad tie would not have existed at the same time that this guy is dressed from.
Right.
So
Good catch.
that struck me, and it was reminiscent of the Phoebe Rex scene where she's in, she plays right. played Kelly.
Yeah,
she's
I thought that
to the tree. Yeah. And I'm like, was this another guy that they were playing with? Because it seems like, given the circumstances of where they lived, and probably, you know, they were still heavily talking about witches and such, you know, they were probably easy pickings. And so I started looking, I started going back thinking about, they're in Canada, like if they're in Canada, and I can't remember why I got on this. Oh, I know why. When he drinks from the skull, it had to do with Dale saying a holy scary shit when he was talking about the scare tree crows, which is a mouthful, Marjoram. He said, holy. And I was like, that's interesting. I mean, holy shit is a swear that people will use, but you know, he threw scary in there, so I hung on holy for a sec. But it wasn't until the guy comes back and Jade sees him a second time, and he's drinking from the skull, and the blood is dripping down, which could also have been, you know, it would be why if he was doing communion, holy communion. And that's what it reminded me of. So I was like, if he's doing communion, that means he's Catholic. And if he's Catholic, he is probably in like the, I think the Nova Scotia area when the French, you know, back in the early days of the America.
He's drinking from a skull. It's blood.
Huh?
He's drinking from a skull. Probably blood.
Yeah, I know it's blood, but I'm trying to figure out where this, what time frame this guy is from. And so I'm looking and I'm like, all right, so the French and the British, it was probably at the end of one of their wars fighting over turf here, drew a line, and the Catholics moved north above that line with the French, while the Protestants stayed south of that, you know. And so then I was like, when did the French take over that part of Canada? So I Googled, as I would, and it was 1608. I was going for 1703 earlier, but when it was 1608, it was 1608, 1609 is on the staircase.
Right. And don't that you know what that is, Chloe? Geez, come on. You don't know all this?
I know. Come on. No,
no. But that all being said, we do have.
I don't discuss that during the table read.
That's amazing. I love this research. I know. I feel like during our table reads, we need to do our history homework more.
So we got another question for you.
It was just trying to figure it out, because with Jade, the way that Jade is kind of fixating on this symbol and trying to, you know, figure it out, and you're thinking that he's designing a game. I mean, my background is in chemistry and biology, so I'm always, you know, like I was always like problem solving and trying to pull in what you know, like all the little clues matter. And I was just like, maybe I'm Jade. But then Jade is, what's that?
You are Jade right now, because I want to.
I am. I'm like, but
I love it. I love it. It's amazing.
Chloe right now, because we got questions that people have.
I wanted to talk to Chloe about show stuff, Alex.
I know.
That's it.
Are you
next
deciding?
Thing we're going to start talking about hair and bangs, because
yeah, I know that is one of the questions.
No, you can go to Reddit for that. There's a whole subreddit about that.
Oh, trust me, we get beat right up all here. The time. For that.
I'm just but like I've been
the hair. Christy's hair arc is a hot topic.
Let me tell you, we asked for questions. That question came up like four times.
I bet.
But anyway.
Oh my God, John said I am kind of being Jade right now. I take that as a compliment.
And okay, team, I do have, okay, I got so 5 minutes left because I do have to bounce.
I understand. I just want to get a couple of questions for you.
Yeah, of course.
You know, Alyssa wanted to know, she's wondering about the growth from season 1 to season 3. of Christy.
Oh yeah, I think, yeah, big time growth, lots of internal growth for her. It's been cool to watch her start to stand her own ground in a way. I think in season one there was like a smile through the hard stuff kind of energy to her. I think she lost, she got lost out of her own identity a bit because she was responsible for so much so fast, and like that's what happens, right? And then you kind of get shook when your fiance comes into this hellscape with you and you're like, wait one second, who was I, who am I now, XYZ. And like, to me, I know there's so much controversy around her hair, but a lot of the hair, a lot of the identity, a lot of the wardrobe shift is also about her like trying to figure out who she is. I mean, she's the only character in town as of now that like has somebody from her past life entering into this new place, you know what I mean? And I don't know, folks, but how many times have you done like a sweaty bang trim when you're like post breakup or like in the middle of something? Like it's such a human thing to do, to like try to externalize who you are, or try to find yourself when you're in a nightmare, you know what I mean? And so much of Christy is like for others, and her energy is put so much on others. So I think her internal world, her internal work is like, who am I outside of the doctor of the town? Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it's super vulnerable too to be like, who am I? Who am I? You know what I mean? And I think like the audience is seeing that vulnerability in real time and having big opinions about it. Like,
which I think is really funny.
Bigger than I ever would have thought. And I'm like, folks, like, zoom out and be like, look at this holistically and be like, this is just a girl responsible for a lot in the town trying to find who she is. And, like, also get in touch with her queerness and be like, where am I? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's so much deeper than just, like, a haircut to me. Enter Christy. So there's no need for the bullying, everybody.
I'm here for the hair. What your hair looks like.
I'm here for the hair. I'm here for the hair art.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about this show is that it is the quintessential puzzle show.
Yeah.
And any change signals, like, is this a new piece of that puzzle?
Yeah.
So, you know, what you're saying is, Christy is putting herself together, looking for the different pieces to try to see what that picture is going to look like. Did Christy ever consider baby bangs during this?
Baby bangs? I mean, it was a thought.
Okay.
It was a thought process that she had. She did a little, well, Marielle did the first one, and then a couple days passed and she went, wait one sec.
Yeah, she fixed
need
it up.
To, like, but there's no like behind mirror. Like, there's only four mirrors. There's no, like, 360 mirrors. So she couldn't quite see what she was doing at the back. But that's okay. It's, like, fun town. Like, who's cutting? I saw a very funny, thing on Reddit where someone was like, guys, like, Victor's hair would be down to his knees right now. Like, who's giving haircuts? Like, everyone lay off.
Monsters,
but it's funny.
You know, on their lunch break, the monsters do haircuts and nails. That being said, you know, there's a lot of heavy scenes in this show, but, you know, the pool seems to be a great place to have a good scene. And, you know, you go head to head with Boyd and Harold Small. What was that like? I mean, not that you're a new actor, but I mean, Harold is Harold. And, you know, what is it like to match wits with someone like that?
I mean, Harold and I have had three seasons together at this point too. You know what I mean? You just drop in, you go, and you're like, we're both responsible for a lot in this town.
And you said a lot by saying that, because it really is kind of a mutual type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in charge of that medical piece. He's trying to keep everybody together. And it's just so crazy how everybody has kind of come together. And we've asked this question of all of the actors when we've had a chance. You know, do you think love is the Achilles heel of From?
Mm. No, I think it's the catalyst. I mean, I think it's the catalyst, not the Achilles heel.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because
it's kind of what you're saying, but in reverse at the same time.
Well, it just seems like
I'll let you meditate on that.
Yeah.
It just seems like the farther apart they were when we first met everybody, the monsters and everybody liked it. Now that everybody's kind of coming together and they're trying to work together, it seems like everything is ramped up. Just as an outsider looking in.
I mean, have you ever been in a relationship? That's how it goes. When things start to get real, that's when it gets, the stakes get higher, right?
I understand. Yeah.
And then once you like find your, once everyone like settles in, you're like, oh wait, love is nice.
Yeah.
Boring so, is really nice sometimes. Yes.
It's underrated.
Boring is
Chloe,
I don't know.
We want to keep to your schedule and I just want to thank you so much for coming by.
Of course. And, yeah. And thank you both.
Talking with us. It was a lot of fun. So thank you. I hope we can have you back again. And
yeah.
I don't know. I just love you. I just, you know, I love your portrayal. The hair is so on point tonight that it could be dangerous in the bathroom later for me. Oh. I like the little curls in the back.
Are you going to have a little Christy moment and change your whole persona?
Yeah, I'm getting there.
She does that all the time.
I'm getting there. Yeah.
I mean,
because right now I'm like, this is it.
Anytime.
Yeah, Christy has the same sweaty thoughts. So
yeah,
it's a human experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, she feels everything in the show has a meaning. So like in the background with the light being on, that has a meaning. The stuff on the hooks, that all has a meaning. I mean, that's just the way she works. And
I love it. I can't wait to know what it all means.
I really,
yeah. I don't think I want to know.
You don't think you want to know? Well, that's
what I want to know. I like this.
And her towel and her purse. Yeah. And this is her room.
Exactly. This is what it's all about, baby. No, but Chloe, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah.
And you jumped at the chance. And you know what? The fans love you. And, I just really appreciate the fact that when we do some social media posts, you guys, you've always been helpful to our podcast.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for starting a cool community.
Well, They're all a bunch of crazies and I'm just as crazy with them. So I love it.
You love it's a little crazy.
Fun. And we can't wait to see what happens in season 3. And we'll talk to you soon. Chloe. All right, we'll see you soon. All right.
Bye.
All right. We'll get you out of here. 1, 2. I think I'm gonna do that.
I know. Oh. All right. So all right. I love her. That was just so awesome to have her. I'm so glad that everyone in the chat room could join us for that. I think that was just awesome. I wanted to ask one question before we close out the trek for food. What do you think those red stones were for? Does anybody have any ideas for that? Or Alex, do you have any ideas? I thought about, was it the Aztecs or the Mayans that like massacred a bunch of sacrifices?
I thought it was for killing. Honestly, I thought it was for killing, or it was just to mess with us. But you know, what do I know? I just think that, you know, I didn't actually do the red stones as a
experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
As a screenshot, but
well, that's all right. It was just the red stones were what Jade saw just before he saw the guy,
right?
And it, oh yeah, yeah. But I'm looking at Marjoram. She said red paint, and John says I think the red stones aren't going to be explained. It's just more stuff thrown at us to confuse us. And that possibly could be it too. It just made me think of the sacrifice of the people that were going up this, I think it was a Mayan pyramid, and they sacrificed 23,000 people in one day. So let's switch gears and start talking about Boyd. Boyd was all over the place. He was social butterfly this episode. He had so many different scenes with people. We start out with him talking to Ellis about his big plan that he is going to capture one of those things. And when they were talking, the name of the episode is The Mouse Trap. We see Christy trapped in a bear trap, very literal sense. But then Boyd talking about building a monster trap so that he can capture one of these things and, see if he can learn anything about them. And this conversation with Ellis reminded me of just before he goes out in the woods with Sarah, and they're kind of, they make up, they get close again. And, here's Ellis, he's a father to be, they're on good terms. And I just really liked the interaction. And then Donna comes in and, it was, I'm thinking back to when we asked Harold about doing his scenes with Donna, and he said such lovely things that when Donna saw our little video of it, she just was she was right. So touched, it surprised her. And there was just this little love fest going on between the two of them on Instagram over that. And, so she comes in and, Ellis, I think it was Ellis, tells her what Boyd is thinking of doing. She mentions that they drew straws to figure out who was going to go out and get food. And of course, Dale throws a shit fit because he gets the short straw, but that's his job, is to just throw shit fits. So let's see. My question was, if they do catch a monster, can it converse intelligently? Or are these monsters working off some kind of script? For instance, in the barn, they were prepared to capture Boyd and someone else in that barn. It really didn't matter who the victim was going to be. They were going to make Boyd watch. But the things that they were saying were just, you told us, we weren't going to break you, so we're going to put that to the test, So I'm wondering if they could have a conversation, if torture could work in getting them to talk. Because remember when Boyd sliced Smiley's neck, he just stood there and smiled like it was nothing,
Right.
And then, you know, Donna tells him they're not human, but Christy says they were at one point. And why? I don't know what this question is. Can you imagine Donna showing up for dinner? I really don't know what that question means to me anymore. Does that make sense?
I just know that, you know, the conversation that Boyd and Alice had with Donna, you know, Donna has always been very cautious.
Yeah.
And she, because, you know, again, she's seen things firsthand with her sister.
And she's been there 3.5 years.
And the fact that, you know, she really believes that the game is rigged. So why poke the bear, so to speak?
I agree. Like, why poke a bear? Why? But I say that to kids all the time. Don't poke the bear.
At the same time, you know, in Boyd's defense, you know, he's tried everything else. So we're going to try to go after them. Now, he still may go after them, but he didn't do it yet. Let's just put it that way. I mean, they were going to, you know, Kenny had the alcohol ready to blow the place up. He didn't do that yet. So, you know, they keep what the monsters keep doing is they keep delaying stuff. They keep shifting so that, you know, they're not getting their plans done the way they'd like to. But that said, do you want to go to Tabitha or do you want to go to?
Have to talk. Like, I'm just talking through all of Boyd's things. The Tabitha and Henry thing has to be last because it's the most important thing. So he has another conversation with Cotri. And this, you know, he's basically talking with his conscience through the whole thing. And he's building this remembrance board, much like the wall in Alexandria. So at any rate, the one piece of gold we get out of this is that we find out that Boyd has been there for 1.5 years. So it enabled me to update this, which, you know, I live for. Then my question is, Boyd is talking about getting them in a room and having a talisman on the inside so they can't get out. But we know when they did that in the barn, Boyd woke up with Mrs. Lou and no monsters. So I don't know how that would work, but it might work if the talisman was on the outside.
But unless they already had a way out. Like, they could have left the door open the way they got in. That barn's huge. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's possible.
Know, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
My last thought on this particular thing is that Boyd is doubting his plan. That's the whole exercise with Cotri. He's doubting his plan, and you can tell by what Cotri is saying. But he's at a point where he's feeling desperate. You know, and that they've got to do something. So now I want to jump over to Jim, and Jim's not really doing very well. So the phone rings, it's Thomas again. And Jim, right off the bat, he's in a high emotional state, but he doesn't give in to it. He absolutely does not. He thinks logically, like an engineer would, and he realizes that his infant son would not be able to talk. So therefore, he knows that this cannot be Thomas.
And plus,
so
the kid was pretty aggressive.
What's that?
The person on the phone was pretty aggressive.
Oh,
and actually
nasty. Like, if Jim was a weaker man, he would have fallen for it. But that's not who Jim is. Jim is weak right now because his wife is gone and he doesn't know where she is. He's terrified of what could happen to him because then he doesn't want to leave his kids there alone. he knows he's being screwed with, but he also knows there's a very real threat behind what's happening. And Jim meets Boyd on the street, and both of them acknowledge that things are getting worse. And Jim is declining. Like, they go back and they're making lunch, and he's like, look, I did the best I could with what was left. And Ethan's just kind of playing with it. As an adult, you know, like, you know, you're a dad, Alex. You've probably eaten things that you haven't wanted to eat just so that your daughter would eat.
Yeah, no, I get it. So I just think the thing that I got from that whole thing was, why didn't he tell Boyd?
About the phone call?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to the complaint that they don't talk.
I mean, it was just so stupid. I mean,
I think that he just doesn't want to acknowledge that, you know, chicanery, you know? And I was thinking about Julie's attitude with Jim.
It's perfectly warranted.
It is perfectly warranted, but when I was looking at it this week, it's a lot deeper than her not wanting to go back to when Thomas died. It is definitely those cicadas. I really had to work at that because I wanted to say it the other way. It was really the cicadas, I think, are getting to her. And I think that, like, that was confirmed for me when Randall sees one on the window of the bus. And then a small swarm comes at him. So I think that they're definitely. Yeah,
John said the same thing. There needs to be more open communication with everybody in the town. They should at least have a meeting. That's not necessarily a meeting, John, but they got to friggin' talk. Like,
I think they should have a meeting. I think they should.
But what I mean by that is they don't necessarily have to have a town hall meeting. But, like, if something just happens, don't you think you'd want to tell Boyd? I mean, you know.
I think it just comes down to story stuff, you know. So after lunch, Ethan's over at the diner, and he's cleaning up because he thinks that Mrs. like Tian Chen would like that. He's over there with Bakta. And we have something that we hadn't had before. And it's a conversation, just a one-on-one conversation between Boyd and Bakta. And, you know, they're talking about how both of them are doing, you know? And Boyd says that no matter, this is the thing that gets me. He is doubling down, you know? First, it's like, you gonna break me, but now he's saying to her, he's like, no matter what this place throws at us, we're gonna win. Like, no matter what, like, he is just all in with this. No matter what they do, we're gonna win, and we're gonna find our way home. And then Ethan asks, what if there isn't a way home? Because Boyd is like being logical. If there's a way in, there's a way out. But there isn't always a way out, you know? And Ethan is just, like, Ethan is, like, I got this, like, Boyd is the eternal optimist. You will not break me, even after Tian Chen. How can they make it worse? And we know they can make it worse. But Ethan is no longer talking about the quest. His views have turned fatalistic. And it just reminded me of Lost with the man in white and the man in black. So if you have nothing about that, I'm going to jump over to Fatima.
Sure.
Okay. So Fatima gets caught. Not gets caught. Clara is cooking a steak, and man, that steak was looking good. But that is fresh food. It's not rotting. And Fatima is like gagging. Then she gets a glass of water and she's gagging again. And she just goes outside. She looks around. She's at the rotted vegetable pile. And she grabs a few things and starts eating them. If we ever get to talk to her, I want to know what that is. Because it's that's got to be something good that she actually, you know, Pega likes.
Well, no, it's cookies. They did a video on it. It was cookies.
It's cookies? Yeah. Oh, my God. I love eating cookies. I would eat it like that, too. So, let's see. Tilly, you know, sees her. And they start talking about what's going on. And I was wondering, you know, we know beforehand that Fatima is unable to get pregnant. And with some people, I think they do okay with just living with that. I know I have. Luckily, it's not something I have fixated on. But was she, before she got there, was she wanting a baby badly, like really badly? And that's why she ended up there. Like, did she manifest herself going to from or going to a place where she could actually be pregnant? You know, she falls in love with a great guy and then has an impossible pregnancy in a horror movie. So they're talking about, Tillian and Fatima are talking about, you know, because Fatima is embarrassed at being caught eating rotten food. But Tilly says, when I was pregnant, I could not lick the inside of eggshells enough, you know, to the point where she'd pull them out of the trash. And so I think that really made Fatima feel better. Because that's an odd thing to do too. But given where they are, she's worried about her baby. Like, is the baby okay? So Tilly goes and she pulls out her own deck of tarot cards. So she's going to read, you know, about the baby, see how the baby's doing. But we got interrupted by a suicidal crow. So yeah, I grabbed my deck. And let's see how Fatima's baby is. Oh, my goodness. So I got to find this. So this is the card of judgment. And I don't necessarily read these cards the same way that everybody else does. Most tarot readers develop a personal relationship. I don't know if anyone in the chat room reads. So the judgment is, you know, basically the judgment, like the decision, things coming right, or, you know, payback for something. And then we have the Knight of Cups. And the Knight of Cups is bringing, like, the cups is the happiest suit in the deck, and the cup is bringing good news. And then we have the victorious warrior, the six of wands. So I, based on these three cards, I am predicting that the baby is fine, which doesn't seem to fit with being in front. So the only other note about that scene is Elgin is sleeping with his crocheting, and he's like out cold until the crow comes in and flies around like a crazy bat and then flies into a wall and bloodies himself and dies. End scene. All right, so that brings us to Sarah and Victor.
I think you're full of crap. I think that baby's screwed.
But it could be, but that's what the card said. What can I say? And the thing is, you are free to deny and reject. That's what I say to everybody. You don't like what I'm saying? Deny and reject. So we come upon Sarah, who is in her old house where she lived with Nathan. And she is fixing the little snowman that Kenny broke, you know, and it was the last thing she had from Nathan. Why Nathan was driving around with this snowman, I don't know, unless she took it with her when she left. But she's trying to glue it back together. And Victor is at the door and he's clutching his suitcase like this. And he comes in. He doesn't even ask her if he can live there or anything. You know, he's looking for a new place to go. He doesn't want to live in the Lou house anymore. So he says to her, he asks her, do you have any bedspreads? And she's like, yeah, there's a few upstairs. And so he's like, all right, we're going to make a fort, which I still love doing. I haven't done it in a long time, but we're going to make a fort and I'm going to tell you a story. And I'm like, cliffhanger. So at any rate, now, are you ready for this,
Alex? I can't wait.
Let's talk about Tabitha and Henry.
Let's talk about Tabitha and Henry.
Yeah. I love all the pictures. So I just noticed Agent Gibbs says, yeah, Fatima craving rotten food. No way that baby is coming out normal. I really don't want to change that baby's diaper. Yeah. That's what's going in.
That's a thing specially for her. That's just totally out there. But, yeah. You know, we've got Tabitha and we've got Victor's dad. And yeah. She's looking at the bottles. And Victor's dad said that's a replica of one of her favorite
installations.
He
called it an installation. Well, and the thing was, Tabitha goes and looks at it and she does not see the hole to make it a faraway tree.
Right.
And so, you know, she's like, this isn't right. Plus, there's no paper, no like written things in the bottles. But, you know, he's like, there's the first one, the original one, that is a couple towns away. And so they decide to go see it. But I'm wondering if that tree has the faraway hole.
We're going to find out. Oh, we don't find out.
We don't find out. No.
Because at the end, we meet a couple of new characters and we meet a log in the road.
You're skipping over something. The first thing is, you know, the first thing from Frommville. Is the, you know, the bottle tree that he's got in the backyard. But while they're in the car, he asks if, you know, she's hungry and, you know, he mentions that there's probably some crackers because she's feeling a little car sick. And he said, there's probably some crackers in the glove compartment. She goes into the glove compartment and pulls out the bracelet.
Right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So she pulls out the bracelet and they're listening. The weird thing is when they get in the car, the music plays and the way he mentioned it, it sounded like it didn't always play. Like this song, like the radio was broken because he is driving an older car. Like the radio was broken or something like that. And every so often this song will play, just this song. And it is Joni Mitchell's Blue. And I went and read the lyrics and it's basically written for James Taylor. And I think it's inside joke stuff. They understand it, but I couldn't relate it to this show or figure out why that song would be Tabitha and Jim's song. I couldn't figure it out. Maybe they just like the melody. So there's that connection with Jim. But then she finds the bracelet. And if you remember, that bracelet that she made is supposed to be unique. Do you remember why?
Because she made it when her father was dying or.
She made it for Jim, but there's a flaw. She screwed up.
Yeah, there was a knot. Yeah, there was an extra knot. Yeah,
and so it made it, that would have made it unique. And there she pulls it out, and then she starts to freak out, thinking she hasn't made it out of Fromm at all. And she wants to get out of the car, and he's just like, no way. So he floors the car without looking, and they get into a car accident, and then she wakes up in the ambulance. So do you remember, I mean, we know, like, with the trailers, you don't get everything, but did you see the ambulance attendants, the EMTs?
Yeah.
In the trailer?
Yeah. The one had a gun.
Did you see? No, because the one with the gun is the cop. Because I was like, why would the cop jump into the ambulance? But the cop mentioned that she held up the lunchbox and she's like, you're the patient that the hospital is looking for.
Right.
So she was essentially a missing person, and that's why the cop is in the ambulance.
Right.
But then there's the two other guys. I don't recall seeing them.
No, I don't. No, they didn't show them. They didn't show them.
All right. So now we know what that's all about.
There's four new people coming to Fromm.
All right. So there's, well, are you talking
about Victor's dad, two AMTs, yeah, and the police officer.
Okay. All right. For a second, I was like very confused. So I can't, like, it kind of makes me wonder about Tabitha's reaction when she sees the tree across the road. Like,
it's kind of interesting because, you know, she wanted to go back.
Yeah.
And yet she's back and she's probably feeling like, well, did I ever leave?
Yeah.
I mean, assuming that's probably like, what.
It kind of makes it think, like, when she's in the car and she's like, I never left. But you know, she had to, because here's four other people that have never been there.
So we think.
Yeah. So after.
Keep dying and say they're part of their, you know, moles, yeah, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Like, that's how they get in. Someone had to replace Tom. But I wanted to ask the people in our chat. I'm not sure if anyone was in Florida or North Carolina or even Georgia. But after the storm came through Georgia the next day, I was kind of surprised it was over so quickly. There's a street down the, you know, just a couple streets over from me, that it seems like every time we have a bad storm, a tree comes down and blocks the road. So I am wondering if anybody else has a street like that. I mean, trees in Georgia, or at least in Atlanta, are like shallowly rooted, so they, you know, come over easily. But I'm out driving around and I hear a buzzsaw, so I'm like, or a chainsaw. So I turn quickly to go down and see the tree so I could get a picture of it, and hopefully that it was across the road. And the street I pull into off of Hosea Williams, which always has a tree down, I pull into the side street and there's a tree across the entire road. And I was like, well, that was not hard at all. So, yeah.
But if you're not going to.
Sorry about that.
Okay. That kind of scared me. All right. So I think I've hit everything that I wanted to hit, but I have four quick booms to take us out of this episode. Are you ready? Boom number one, Tabitha is back in Fromm, which I'm kind of surprised, again, why she was so upset about it since her family is there. Boom number two, Victor has a story. And then boom number three, pow, pow, Jim knows it's not Thomas. And then the last one, boom number four, there is more to Fatima's story. And that's about all I have to say about that. Are there Yeah, exactly. Welcome back, Tabitha. We missed you so much. Like, she's gone like a day or something. Any last thoughts from our chat? Because I'd love to know. Let's see. Jay Sleek says she didn't get to go back on her own, choice, like she would have if she went through the tree. But she might not have gotten there if she had gone through a tree. So, Alex?
Yes.
Do you want to try and pay some bills?
All right, just give me a second.
Randall Carving? I don't know.
What was the question? Sorry.
Jay Sleek is asking what Randall is carving. I don't know, carving himself out of boredom. It'd be funny if it was a cicada that he was carving and not realizing that's what he was doing.
A cicada?
Cicada, sorry. The ahs dry hard.
I know, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's really tough. We do have one piece of feedback. It's a little bit long, but it's for episode 1 and 2. It's a voicemail. We're gonna play.
I have some feedback I'd like to share too.
Please.
No, you go first.
Actually, you need to go first because
I need to go first.
This is still up to you. I can go first. Never mind. Okay.
Alex, hi Lizzie. This is Renee calling in about From. I could have sworn I left a voicemail last week. I have no idea when I went back. I did not send it. So I'm going to talk about last week and this week. Last week was heartbreaking, totally heartbreaking. They're attempting to break Boyd, which I don't think that they're going to be able to do it. But Boyd, his acting is top tier. Like he reminds me so much of Rick Grimes in The Walking Dead because he's the leader. He's in charge. He has the whole town. The weight is on him. And you can see it. You can feel it. It's just amazing. Like I said, his acting is top tier. And Mrs. Chin, I was so sad. And Mrs. Chin, when she was on the after show that you all do on YouTube, she looks so much younger than she does on the show. I guess because she has to play the role of the mother. But you all enjoyed the interview that you all did with her. And I'm trying to figure out why they just did not take the animals and put them in whatever house that was closest. Well, if they just had to go and save the damn animals, which I don't understand that. And I understand they were out of food, but just go and round them up the next day. But if you're not going to do that, just, I don't care. Put them in any house, wherever. Just put them wherever. Because on this episode, I can't think of his name right now. I have to get the names back together again. Where they do the alcohol in the little bar. They had the animals in the bar. Put them in whatever house. Why are you trying to get them to the barn? Come on now. Seriously, that really pissed me off because come on. You're not supposed to be out there at night. What are you doing? But it was really sad. And this episode here, to see Kenny, the breakdown the way that he did, that that had me in tears. And he reminds me so much of Glenn on The Walking Dead, not because he's Asian, but of course that has something to do with it, but because he's like the second person in charge. Like, he just steps up to the plate. He takes charge. And to see him from how he was when the first season started to now, that's why he reminds me of Glenn, because he has really stepped up. But it was truly heartbreaking, truly, truly heartbreaking to watch that. And
sorry about that. We had to cut it off because a little technical difficulty. But that all being said, we do have another piece of feedback and you have it. So,
yep. It's two. One of them presented this first one presented an interesting question. So hey guys, just was listening again to the most recent podcast and thought of something. That place Kenny and Jim stayed the night had old wagon wheels. What if that was from the previous village residents whom arrived there by wagon after seeing a tree in the road or pathway? So, you know, we're in modern times and, you know, RVs, Audis, whatever, that's what we're seeing them arrive in. But imagine, like, In a modern car, you're just waiting for the road crew to come out to clean up a tree like that. But back then, there was no road crew. They would have to turn around and go back. They would be forced to find a way around it or take everything out of the wagon and try and get it over the tree. So they just ended up staying there and finding out, how bad it was. And then another one, this is quick. Episode one gutted me. Whoa. Steph from Geopat's podcast. Wow, a podcaster is listening to us. I love it. So that's the feedback I have.
All right. So we got a couple other things that we're going to do. And
Yeah.
if you guys are interested, we still have our season one poster that you can get on our Etsy shop, which is What Is From Shop. Just go to that. If you want to support the podcast, that's one way you can support it. You can also support it on our Buzzsprout, on our Buzzsprout deal. I'll put that in the show notes. And the last thing that you can do if you want to support the podcast is you can get merch. We got our From Elite shirts, our mugs. We got all sorts of good stuff on
The
there.
poster.
The
I
poster.
if when you guys buy stuff there, what it does is it helps cover the cost of the podcast. We're not looking to
I'm
get
going to
rich or
Florida
anything
with
like
it. That's
that.
what I'm doing.
What's that?
I'm definitely going to Florida with my half of the money. I'll
Good
leave one
luck with
problem.
that.
I won't even get out of my county. No, but no, it does help us support the podcast. All the little house elves and everything, we get to pay them and whatever else. Next week we're going to be talking season three, episode four, There and Back Again. So we've got a lot going on. That doesn't sound good. One of the things that I did want to talk about with Christy slash Chloe, now that they have some new EMTs, is she possibly on the chopping block?
Yeah, because remember in Walking Dead when in Slab Town when the doctor showed up, like the
Right.
random doctor showed up, the other doctor killed him. And
Yep.
it just they every time that they would have a medical person, that person would get killed one way or another.
One way or
Oh
another.
no, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna stab you, stab you, stab you, stab you one way. Maybe next week.
Well, folks, that's our show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And like I said, next week we're going to be talking some more from and maybe have another guest. We're still trying to find out. We can line somebody up. And
Well, there's a couple of irons in the fire for next week.
couple of irons in the fire. There's always an iron in the fire.
Yeah.
So we'll see you next week. Have a great night.
Get you home. Let's go. Come on, get in your house. Let's go. Come on.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.